This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Merry Christmas, America. I'm Ronnie Floyd, filling in today for Tony Perkins, who leads this program normally. I'm the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas, a church with five campuses, and I am the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is a real honor today to be able to join you here on the Washington Watch. I want to urge you to go to frc.org to download any of the broadcast or to stream this online today. Also, you can easily follow on Twitter, Tony Perkins at T Perkins, or you can follow me on Twitter at Ronnie Floyd. Well, today is going to be one fantastic broadcast, and I believe you will agree when you find out and discover who will be our first guest with us today. Mike Huckabee is the former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, and he will provide his take on the drama surrounding the Electoral College votes, as well as look at the alleged Russian hack. We'll also get his thoughts about even the assassination of the Russian ambassador to Turkey today and other relevant matters in the culture. And then we will check in at the turn of the hour with Ron Estes. He is the Kansas State Treasurer and a Kansas elector. He received over 100,000 emails from folks trying to sway his vote from President-elect Donald Trump. He'll give us a firsthand account of the Electoral College vote and how it went in Kansas today. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you know well the power of prayer. We're going to talk at the end of the broadcast today with Dave Butts, who is the chairman of the National Prayer Committee. He is also the chairman of the board for the National Day of Prayer. And we are going to be talking with him specifically about Pray 100. It is a 100-day prayer effort nationally to cover the first 100 days of President-elect Donald Trump's administration. So today is going to be a wonderful, wonderful time together. Call a friend, encourage a friend, text a friend, and encourage them to join us. Governor Huckabee, it is a great pleasure to have you. He is a friend. I have tremendous admiration and appreciation for Governor Huckabee. And so, Governor Huckabee, welcome to the Washington Watch.
Well, thanks so much, Ronnie. You know, it's a pleasure. And the audience probably doesn't know that you and I have been friends for, 30 years. And You've been such a terrific influence in not just Arkansas, but across the country, and especially on the subject of prayer and fasting. And the Lord has used you and your writings to help a lot of people to understand what that means and how to engage in meaningful prayer. And I just count it an honor and privilege to be with you today as your guest host for Tony.
Well, thank you very much, Governor. There's so much to talk about. Thank you for your kind words and encouragement. And we stand shoulder to shoulder in this battle that we're in America. And it's the passion that we both share together in relationship to having a burden for our country and the future for our nation and the future for our grandchildren and even our great-grandchildren one day. Would you agree with that, Governor?
Well, absolutely. And I think what we've seen is that there is a really significant dichotomy between the people who believe that we need to move God completely out of our culture, relegate God to a discussion only in the quiet, hushed sanctuaries of a church, and that our entire culture, including government, should be utterly secular and actually more bohemian. It's not just secular, not just without value, but a value that focuses upon the indulgence of self, the elevation of self, even the deification of self-centeredness. And this is so at odds with who we always have been as a country, who we were founded to be. And I know that people on the far left just go nuts when they hear that, because they say, no, we're a secular nation. Actually, we are a nation that respects people who want to be secular.
That's
but
right.
The foundation of the country is Judeo-Christian. And anyone who just can't accept that has to make up their own version of reality, because that is the reality.
Well, that's right. And, you know, today, obviously, Governor, I'm sure you've done several interviews today regarding the Electoral College votes today that happened around our nation. And we know that if 37 GOP delegates had changed their votes, it would deny Donald Trump the 270 tallies that he needs to certify the win. We know also that was an extremely unlikely scenario. Later on in the broadcast, we're going to be talking with one of those electors personally. But what are you hearing out there that is happening across the country today in regard to the significance of this day?
You know, I think there are people who don't understand that when those electors run for the positions, they sign an affidavit. This is like a contract. And they say, we will vote the manner in which the voters of our state have sent us to go vote. I mean, that's what they do. And unless there is some compelling reason, and that reason would have to be something along the border of treason, then they are honor bound to do what the contract they've agreed to says. I've always thought it was delusional to think that somehow there was going to be an unwillingness for people to go because a handful of Hollywood celebrities urged them, just to defy the voters, 62 million voters. And you know, when I hear people say, yeah, but Hillary won the popular vote. Ronnie, she won the popular vote because of one single state, California.
That's right.
She had 4.3 million more votes in California than Donald Trump. That more than makes up for the 2.8 million that some of the people on the left touted saying she won the popular vote. That's why we have the Electoral College, so that one or two very large states that, in fact, may be out of touch with the rest of the country can't control an election and the country and the culture. We saw the value of the Electoral College in this process, and it's really interesting to me that none of Hillary's people tried to say that the Electoral College was a problem until she lost. They were all fine with the rules. In fact, they castigated Donald Trump because they thought he was going to question the results because they assumed they were going to win. And I just find the hypocrisy of this is staggering.
That's right. And, you know, what's really amazing, too, Governor Huckabee, is that we're talking with Governor Huckabee on the Washington Watch here today. And what's really amazing about this is your observation about California. I saw that data early this morning, and it's quite amazing because of the popular vote of California relating to all that and how it swayed literally the entire popular vote. Which leads me to this question. Do you believe that the group behind this challenge to the Electoral College, do you think that's solely the Democratic Party? Do you think it's the Clinton campaign? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that, or is it something else? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, John Podesta, who was Clinton campaign chairman, on the Sunday shows yesterday indicated that, you know, he questioned the election results. He intimated that there was something, you know, amiss with how it was done. Look, here's the sad thing. Since the election night, Hillary's supporters and Hillary herself have tried to blame the FBI director, the Russians, the news media, Donald Trump. They've tried to blame the Electoral College. The one thing they haven't done is to go to Walgreens, spend $4, and get one of those little mirrors and let Hillary hold it up to her face. And for $4, she can find out exactly why she lost the election. Just look in that little glass, and the reason she lost is because she did not connect with people in this country. They didn't trust her. She repeatedly lied to them. And frankly, I think for many people, especially believers, the first 8 minutes of the third debate erased any doubts whatsoever as to whether or not Hillary would be a radical president when it came to the issue of protecting human life. Her position, believing that you could take the life of an unborn child, even as it is exiting the womb, late-term partial birth abortion, was appalling. And how anybody who even is remotely pro-life could have said, yeah, Hillary will be okay. It's beyond me.
Well, you know, Governor Huckabee, last week I hosted the show for Tony also, and it was the day after the events of Ohio and the decisions there relating to the pro-life agenda. And one of the things that we were talking about with their Right to Life director in that state was how a person's view of human life beginning at birth, beginning at conception, really alters their entire view of human life from then all the way to the tomb. Would you comment on that, please?
Well, I think it's so totally compatible with who we are as a country. In the Declaration of Independence, our founders said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all of us are created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. This notion of the equality of every human being is so incredibly powerful in the foundation of who we are as a nation. And what it means is that no person is worth more than another, and no person is worth less.
That's
so
right.
A person, an unborn person, and we know biologically that from conception, it's a person. It's not just a blob of tissue. It's not just a cellular structure. It is a person. And the reason we know that is because science has finally caught up with the Bible and told us that 23 chromosomes from a male and 23 from a female come together and make that person who that person will be for all his or her life.
Yes.
And there's no such thing as a person without purpose or value. It's like asking who's more important, the captain of the football team or the kid with Down syndrome. Well, both have value, equal value before God. And neither is worth somehow getting rid of, and neither is expendable or disposable. So that's the heart of this whole issue of the sanctity of life. And that's why, for me, it's a non-negotiable. I will not support people who do not believe in the value of each human life. And frankly, I think that, and this is something I talked about during the campaign, we really don't have to pass a new constitutional amendment or reinterpret it to protect human life. We just have to apply the two amendments we already have, the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment, that guarantees that no person can be deprived of life or liberty without due process. An abortion deprives a person of life or liberty without any due process. And at some point, we need to invoke that make it very clear that we will protect every human.
Well, thank you for always being that person out there on the front line with this issue. It is a huge issue. And I'm so thankful for your convictions and your life as a pastor, as a man, as a father, but also as a politician in your past and perhaps still in your present to some degree, and a national commentator. I'm so grateful for that. Governor Huckabee, you'll be able to stay with us for maybe 7 or 8 hours after a break. Can we do that? Or 7 or 8 minutes, not hours, but minutes.
No,
at the break.
7 or 8 hours. That may be problematic. Okay.
Hey, well, thank you for doing that, Governor. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk more with Governor Mike Huckabee, former governor of the state of Arkansas. We're going to be talking to him about Russia and the interference in the election. Did that happen, and how did it happen, and all of those matters. But we want you to stay tuned on the Washington Watch. We'll be back in just a moment.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetalpain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. At any time, it's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world and forget what life is all about, which is redemption. In Romans 8:28, he calls us to live our lives for his purpose, and clearly his purpose is to seek and save the lost, that none should be lost. In fact, your zip code and responsibilities in heaven will be determined by how many people accepted God's redemption because of your influence. And there's never a better time to share God's love with your unchurched friends than during the Christmas season. This is the peak month for them to think about God and their own mortality, so they're actually predisposed to listen to someone already living in the glory of Christmas. Turning every circumstance into an opportunity to lead people to Jesus Christ is God's purpose for your life. And Revival Outside the Walls makes it fun when you rely on our ROTW mobile app throughout your day.
Merry Christmas from 8 Days of Hope. We want to thank you, the American Family Radio listener, for supporting 8 Days of Hope as we serve disaster victims in 2016. Volunteers from across the country that heard about 8 Days of Hope on AFR came to Texas and Louisiana, South Carolina, and West Virginia to help out flood victims. You came to Mississippi to help out flood victims and tornado victims. And then in October, we happened to be in South Carolina where Hurricane Matthew hit. And we had thousands of people there that were willing to help and serve and love others who needed our assistance. Thank you for your volunteering. Thank you for your financial support. But most of all, thank you for your prayers for 8 Days of Hope. Please continue to pray for 8 Days of Hope as we move to 2017. We hope that you and your family have a Merry Christmas and a joyous new year.
That's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope, a ministry partner of the American Family Association. You can learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch. This is Ronnie Floyd sitting in for Tony Perkins. And for the next 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to be talking again with the former Arkansas Governor, Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee, thanks for again for being on the broadcast with us today. I want to move our conversation briefly to the Russian computer hacks. Democratic National Committee Chairman Donna Brazile says that despite what President Obama said, Russians attempted to hack their computer systems every day until the election. She wants to call for an independent, bipartisan congressional investigation into the hacks. Obviously, there's so much about it out here. Would you give us some brief thoughts about that before we move on and talk with you about several other things today?
Sure. Look, I think we should have an investigation. It ought to be bipartisan. We ought to find out where the breach of security is. Let's be real honest. We should be worried about the Russians hacking into our computers.
Absolutely.
We ought to be worried about the Chinese. We ought to be worried about anybody hacking into our computers. But the first thing that reveals is we have a very pitiful cybersecurity situation happening. In the case of the hacks of the DNC, it was a fairly simple operation. John Podesta gave up his password voluntarily in a phishing email, and that's how they got in. Now, it's interesting that so many people say it was the Russians, but the people who leaked it, including Julian Assange, says it was not the Russians. So, you know, do we know? I hear people say, well, 17 intelligence agencies say so. Well, let me redefine that a little bit. The political appointees of the Obama administration in 17 agencies have said that, but we haven't seen the evidence. So, you know, I'd love to have the investigation. But here's what we have to separate from this conversation about the Russians perhaps hacking into the DNC. Nobody has been able to show one shred of evidence that one single vote was either manipulated, moved, changed, or for that matter, even influenced because of the hacking at the DNC.
Yes.
Mainstream media very sparsely even reported what was happening, and certainly not the content. And the conservative media were speaking to people who were already going to vote for Donald Trump. So one of the things I want the people saying we've got to have an investigation, I want them to acknowledge that this was not the reason Hillary lost. They can't provide one scintilla of evidence to that effect. But they're trying to tie it all together to make it sound like that the election was not fair, that it was rigged, frankly, everything that they screamed at Donald Trump for saying could have happened, and then it, you know, it becomes their mantra. And I just find that, again, very hypocritical on the part of the Hillary supporters.
Well, thank you for your observations there. You know, even today, the Russian ambassador to Turkey being assassinated. Then, of course, we just have this coming across the news now, and that's 9 dead as a truck plows into a German Christmas market, and suspecting that at least 50 others were hurt. Obviously, both identified initially as acts of terror. Why do you think this is all happening in that part of the world, Governor Huckabee? What are your thoughts about that?
I think we have to realize that the heart of radical Islam is to kill everyone who does not wish to usher in a time of extreme Sharia law and, you know, a total caliphate that would exist around the world. If you believe that God wants you to kill everybody, doesn't believe like you do, death then does not become anything that is all that significant. Kill all kinds of people, innocent people, children, pregnant women. You can kill anybody because it all helps to further your cause. And that's why suicide bombers don't seem to be the least bit problematic, because the death of one to push forward the kingdom of this radical religious fanaticism is perfectly okay. What really becomes troubling about what happened in Turkey, if the Russians see this as an act by the Turkish government in any way, and they retaliate militarily, because Turkey is a member of NATO, and all the NATO nations are pledged to stand with one of their members should they be attacked, this could draw basically the entire world into a military conflict. I think we can all hope that there will be cooler heads prevail, that maybe this is the time when we would be hopeful that somebody in the Trump administration can talk to Putin and the Russians and head off what could be an absolute catastrophe.
Well, that's very sobering what you're saying, and there's no question about the element of truthfulness in it, Governor. Just a brief word, if you had to say it in 30 seconds or so, what you really would encourage President-elect Trump in his first 100 days to accomplish. If you had to condense that in a couple of sentences, what would you tell President-elect Trump that he must do in those first 100 days?
He needs to focus on keeping the promises that resulted in his election. And that includes dealing with illegal immigration, lowering the tax rates, and getting people back to work. And it also includes keeping his promises to the millions and millions of faithful evangelicals by ridding us of the Johnson Amendment, freeing pulpits up to be able to speak without fear of the government, and ending funding for Planned Parenthood and taking on some of these treasured left-wing positions. If he does that, I think his first 100 days are going to be absolutely just bold and big and transformational.
Well, I pray that that's exactly what happens, Governor Huckabee. A final moment with you. This is obviously Christmas week, and we're just days away from Christmas. Would you have just simply a 30-second Christmas wish for every American today that you would like to give before we say goodbye to you today?
Well, every Christmas, I try to be reminded that the best thing about Christmas is not the elaborate gifts, decorations, the lights, or anything else. It's the simplicity of knowing that 2,000 years ago, when God wanted to show us just how much he loved us, and what his love looked like, he didn't write a book and hand it to us, and he didn't just put it into the mouth of prophets. He came in person, he gave himself.
That's
really what Christmas is.
Well, thank you, Governor Huckabee. You're an amazing man. You are obviously a fantastic guest on the Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us today. And coming up next is Kansas State Treasurer Ron Estes. He is going to be talking about the Electoral College. He participated today in the process as an elector in Kansas, been inundated with emails trying to influence his vote. Join us in just a few moments as we talk with Ron Estes. And thank you, Governor Huckabee, for being on the Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Not a lot of data coming out this week, but some of it's fairly important. We've got existing home sales. That's something we're going to watch very closely because it looks like it's going to go down, which means we have more and more inventory coming off the market. So that's going to start to drive prices up. So that's one thing we'll watch, particularly in an environment where we're going to start to see interest rates go up a little bit. As a matter of fact, we've already seen it, interest rates going up on a 30-year mortgage as a result of the Federal Reserve's increase on Wednesday. So we'll watch that. GDP, the third estimate for third quarter GDP is coming out. Now, the last look was 3.2%, so we're looking at 3.3%. We shall see where that ends up. The numbers don't indicate that that is even a high probability, but I would say from a political aspect, it's probably a high probability. We also are getting durable good numbers, and durable good numbers are expected to be right now a negative 4.5%. Now, we have seen a lot of bad durable good reports. Why would this be so bad? Well, because if it were truly down 4 or 4.5% in the negative, that would be about a 9% swing to negative territory. That would be pretty big. So we'll watch that closely. That's coming out on Thursday. We get personal income and personal spending coming out on Thursday as well. These are November numbers, folks. These are November numbers. And then on Friday, we get Michigan sentiment number and new home sales. So we're getting some housing numbers, but the big thing, GDP, durable goods, we'll watch that closely.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch. My name is Ronnie Floyd, and I'm the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas, the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm sitting in today for my friend Tony Perkins, who leads the Family Research Council and is the host of the Washington Watch. Well, today we have seen all sorts of things happen around the world, but obviously the most important thing as far as America goes inside of our country today is in relationship to the Electoral College and all that's going on relating to that. Voting has taken place now at all 50 state capitals and in Washington, D.C. And as we know, the magic number is 270. The drama's been pretty big. The pressure's been enormous. And today we have the incredible privilege on the Washington Watch to talk to one of those electors. He's the Kansas State Treasurer, Ron Estes. Ron, welcome to the Washington Watch.
Well, thank you and allowing me to speak.
Well, Ron, usually these Electoral College proceedings to certify the votes, they usually go with a little bit of fanfare, but not this time. I mean, what has been your experience in this entire moment of acting as an elector of the state of Kansas?
It really has been a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest in this. I've received over 153,000 emails.
Wow.
Most of them asking me not to vote for Donald Trump because they thought Hillary Clinton, who I should vote for, or for a different Republican.
So, Ron, how have you responded to them?
Well, I actually haven't responded to any of the emails. I haven't even read all of them, of course. But this is the way our form of government works, is that we actually have an election, and we have two candidates that run against each other, and one wins and one doesn't win. And unfortunately, sometimes the supporters of the losing candidate don't want to accept those results, and so they've been trying to get another go-around, another bite at the apple.
Hmm. Well, did you see any protesters at the state capitol in Kansas today?
We did. There's six electors for Kansas, and there were some protesters that were at the capitol and some that actually came into the gallery in the Senate chambers where we actually cast our ballots for Donald Trump. And all six of us cast the ballots for Donald Trump. Some of the protesters, made some noise while we were voting. But it actually, we were able to complete the proceedings anyway.
Do you think there was a real threat to this occurring across the nation, or do you see that there was a, it was just liberal media hype or desire that was trying to be manipulated across the country? What are your thoughts about that?
I think it was more noise and more hype than it was actual substance of what was going to happen. Granted, there were a couple of electors who made comments that they weren't necessarily going to vote for Donald Trump, or as we've come to find out, some of the electors that were supposed to vote for Hillary Clinton have not voted for her. But in general, it's with the media today and with a lot of the social media and the ability to spread word on through the internet that it's made a lot more noise, I think, than there ever was a real threat.
Well, Ron, I'm talking with Ron Estes here on the Washington Watch, and Ron is an elector from the state of Kansas who voted today as part of the group to represent his state. And Ron, as the Kansas state treasurer and obviously as an American, which is what you are first in that scenario of those two things, but what would you tell America about her future? I mean, when you look at everything that's gone on now, what would you tell America about the future, knowing what you know about what you've observed over the last 18 months in our country and what you've observed even through the processes of the election in Kansas and even today, and what you think will happen in America today regarding it?
Well, I was really excited to be an elector, just to have the opportunity to cast a historic vote that's part of our democratic process. And I think that I'm looking forward to the next 4 years. And I know there's a lot of qualified people that have been selected by President-elect Trump to help work with him and his administration. And we can just see that there's actually a renewed sense of confidence in the country that we're actually going to turn some things around and improve our economy and help the country get growing again.
Well, Ron, it's Christmas week, and obviously that's a very important time for those of us who believe and those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. But in America, it's still obviously a holy experience for most Americans. But in 30 seconds today, before we tell you goodbye today, would you tell us what would be your Christmas wish for America today?
Well, I guess my Christmas wish for America is that, we would all come together, the election's over, and now we have to work together to make America great again, to quote the slogan from President Trump. But really, our whole purpose ought to be is making our country a strong, shining temple that people can flock to and help lead the world in making it a better place to live as well.
Well, Ron, thank you so much. We've been talking with Ron Estes, a Kansas state treasurer and a Kansas elector. Thanks for being on the program today, Ron. We're coming up next. We're going to be talking to the chairman of the America's National Prayer Committee and heading up what is called Pray 100. I promise you, every one of you will be interested to hear this. It's pretty exciting. We'll be talking with David Butts upon the return. We're Ronnie Floyd here on the Washington Watch. We'll see you in a moment.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, the train to Israel's leaving, so it's a last call. Actually, a train can't go to Israel, but you get the idea. We're planning on going to the Holy Land in March. And it's time to sign up if you're going to go, because we've only got just a few seats left on our tour to Israel. We're going to fly from JFK to Tel Aviv and then bus to Jerusalem, where we'll be for 4 days, and we'll be seeing all the places you've read about in the Bible. And we're going to be on to Bethlehem, then Jericho, and the Dead Sea and Masada, and the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee and the Valley of Armageddon and Mount Carmel and et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a wonderful time seeing Israel. For more information, visit the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Well, Merry Christmas, America. My name is Ronnie Floyd. I am the senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas is the home of Walmart, J.B. Hunt, Tyson Foods, and the University of Arkansas, as well as about 1,200 to 1,400 companies from national to international that have some element of representation here in Northwest Arkansas to service the Walmart headquarters, the global headquarters. Well, before we talk with Dave Butts, just some breaking news, and that is that President-elect Donald Trump exceeds 270 in the Electoral College voting. He's over the hump in voting by delegates of the Electoral College. Texas pushed him over the magic number of 270. He won all of them, and Hillary Clinton got 232, exactly what occurred on November the 8th. And so we will look forward to our new president, who will have in a joint session of Congress on January the 6th, formally accept the Electoral College votes. And then on the 20th of January, we know that he will be inaugurated as the next president of the United States. And so there's so much happening in America and so many things are going on. And we're so grateful to live in such a fantastic country here in this world. Well, I'm going to share with you today about a friend who has become somewhat a new friend over the last 3 or 4 years. He is a tremendous man, a man who is passionately committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, a man who is so committed to the future of America and has given his life and his ministry today to praying for America. He is the chairman of the National Prayer Committee here in the United States. He is also the chairman of the board of the National Day of Prayer. And he's a leader of a new initiative that we're going to talk to him about today and how appropriate it is based off of this being the day of the Electoral College votes. And that is an initiative called Pray 100. And I want to welcome to the broadcast today my friend, David Butts. Dave, welcome to the broadcast today here on the Washington Watch.
Thank you, Ronnie, so much. It's great to be with you today. I was listening to you wondering who in the world you were talking about. I remember, oh, yeah, you're asking for me. So, you know, I'm a journeyer on this path of prayer. I'm learning a lot, but I have a long way to go.
Well, that would be true for all of us, Dave. But what we do know is that the reason we pray is that because we believe that God can do more in a moment than we could ever do in a lifetime. And as we look at where America is today, and obviously we have spent the vast majority of this broadcast talking about what is going on in the political world in America, as well as several crises around the world that break our heart that we've even learned about today. But when we look at America spiritually, Dave, what do you think the greatest spiritual need is in America?
Revival. Now, I can expand on that, but more than anything else, it is for the church to wake up and experience the presence of Jesus Christ in a fresh new way. And when the church wakes up, our nation will be impacted. And that has happened again and again in this nation and many others. It happened biblically. And I believe the great need of our nation today is not simply a new administration. I'm thrilled with what's happening. I'm committed to praying for our new president. But the ultimate need is not just a new administration. It's a new heart for the people of this nation. And that comes as the Church of Jesus Christ gets serious about turning from our sins and starting to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. And as something happens to the church, then something begins to happen in the nation.
Absolutely. You know, Dave, I've said for years that as the church goes, so goes America. And as spiritual leaders, as pastors go, so goes the church. And so we need to really always praise the Lord for pastors of local churches, supporting them, encouraging them. But pastors also need to have a burden on their heart for the church. And to me, the greatest need in the church is spiritual revival, just like you called it. And when that occurs, then what I believe is the greatest need in America can occur, and that is the next great spiritual awakening, which is this massive outpouring of God and His Spirit and His presence that would result in millions and millions coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things I'm really so excited about, Dave, talking to you today is because in light of the political movement in America today, and here we know that just a few days from now, on January the 20th in 2017, we will see inaugurated in this country as President and Vice President Donald Trump and Mike Pence, two men that obviously we believe biblically, because that's what Scripture teaches, God has raised up for this moment. And we need to support them and pray for them and to pray for their safety. And you have initiated with other prayer ministries what is going to be called Pray 100. Pray 100, which is a prayer covering for the first 100 days of President-elect Trump's administration that will begin on January the 20th in 2017. So tell us, Dave, what is the vision for Pray 100?
Well, I'm very excited by it. You know, historically speaking, the first 100 days of any president's administration so often set the agenda for the rest of that presidency. Those 100 days are so critical. And I believe that we have this particular individual coming into the presidency because the church prayed. And so we need to continue that on. It's not like, oh, well, we've done our job, now it's up to him. No, not at all.
That's right.
Now more than ever, perhaps, we need the Lord's intervention. And I would suggest, and I'm very careful how I say it, but I would suggest perhaps even more with a President Trump who was often not at the top of the list of evangelical Christians way back a year ago. He often was not the one that we were thinking of. In some ways, was a surprise, not just to us, but to the whole nation. But I've heard so many people say that they believe that God stepped in and raised up this particular individual to give the nation and the church in this nation an opportunity to repent, to get our house in order. And so because of that, these first 100 days are so necessary for the church to undergird that in prayer and ask God to step in. So a number of ministries, Cindy Jacobs is a great prayer warrior, and she called me and said, Dave, we gotta cover these 100 days in prayer. And we got a hold of Dave Kubal at Intercessors for America and Kay Horner with the Awaken America Alliance and the National Day of Prayer and Nick Eastman with Every Home for Christ, our ministry, Harvest Prayer Ministries, and these begin to come together along with others, John Robb, others, and say, we need to cover this, and there are some things happening right now. A lot of Christians were praying, I'm so grateful, they were praying for the Electoral College today and for protection for the new administration as he's preparing himself for Inauguration Day, and all those prayers are so important. But we're going to really, really unveil, I think, a powerful time of prayer for those 100 days. We're calling it Pray 100, you know, very, very simply. We will have a Facebook presence where there's a short, simple prayer every single day. All 100 days, there'll be a short prayer that I think will be an encouragement to people. And then on our website, there will be a weekly prayer guide, gives people some more in-depth ways of praying. And so I'm excited by this. I can envision literally millions of Christians who are asking the Lord to step in to these critical first 100 days.
Well, and to my understanding, Dave, based off conversations with you, that people can learn more about that on the website prayasone.org, and that's spell that all the way out, P-R-A-Y as A-S-1-O-N-E.org. And so that would be what they can do. And they can also go to facebook.com/prayfirst100. And facebook.com/prayfirst100. Tell me how they can be involved. We've given them the website, and perhaps that'll be on some notes for the show today. But tell me, how can they be involved? What do you see when you envision this with the team of leaders around all of these prayer ministries and spiritual leaders in America that you've talked to this vision about? How do you see involvement with churches and personal followers of Christ?
So many ways. let me just go through a few of them quickly. The Facebook page, go to that now. Literally go to it today and like that page. Then when you get on Facebook, you'll start to see some things from there. And we're already, not every day, but most days, we're already putting some of the prayers there leading up the first 100 days, and then every day there will be a prayer. So you're not out on your own. We're not simply saying, pray for the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. Because to be honest, most people are going, well, I want to, but what do I do? How do I pray? I'm finding after 24 years of prayer ministry that people need help. Yes. And they're looking for really help. So there'll be a simple prayer. And again, on the website, the prayasone.org website, there will be prayer guides, information there. What we're going to suggest, and you'll find that especially on the on the website, is that churches form prayer groups. Individuals can form a group that meets once a week. And so we're going to pray. This is a whole unique thing for most people. They've never even thought of the idea of having a prayer group that lasts 100 days, and we're going to pray for the new administration that's coming in to this nation, asking God to step into it, the process, that it not be something that's merely left to manly wisdom. Whether you voted for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump, I'm assuming that particularly for Christians, you want what's best for our nation. And so now you ask the Lord to step in and to work through these individuals, these men and women who are in now significant places of leadership, asking God to perform his work and do that which may just absolutely astonish us. Wouldn't it be great if a revival took place in the White House and in the halls of Congress? You know, if we saw things happen in Washington, D.C., that absolutely blew our socks off because we're seeing God move and wake up Christians who have been in Washington for many, many years.
Well, I want to join you. I want to join you, Dave, on this incredible vision and just really realize today as we talk, there are thousands and thousands of thousands of people listening to this broadcast or will later download it on podcast and listen to it and think about the hundreds of radio stations that we're talking to today across the country and those who are streaming it live around the world. And I want to call upon thousands and thousands of Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, really thousands and thousands of Americans who believe in the future of America, who want to believe in the future of America, but more than that, who believe in the power of God. And let's all come together and pray for the first 100 days. There's so many things we can pray for. Dave has done a fabulous job today telling us what many of those are, and the website will tell you so much more. But you think about the protection upon our president and vice president, the threats around the world, the decision-making that will constantly flow into their laps day after day after day, a relentless return of those decisions, the confirmation of their appointments, and even the upcoming Supreme Court choice of the justice who will be recommended by the president and then making it through all the confirmation hearings. So many, 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 many things. Now, Dave, here's where I want us to land this today. And I know you love America, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds because we're about to wrap the broadcast up. Give me your Christmas wish for America today.
My Christmas wish for America is that same wish that was given by angels to shepherds outside Bethlehem many, many years ago, that there would be peace on earth to those of goodwill, those who seek good, those who desire good, that the peace that comes through Jesus Christ would flood across this nation. We desperately need God's peace, not merely cessation of hostility, but the peace that touches us inside and transforms us. That's my Christmas wish for America today.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for being on the Washington Watch today. I really want to thank you so much for coming, for joining us today. Hope that you will come and join us again here today on the Washington Watch. And so join us tomorrow. It would be a privilege to be able to talk with you again. We have some guests we've already got lined up for you. And this is a tremendous opportunity to remember that Christmas is about Jesus coming to save us from our sin. He is the hope of this world, and in Him we trust. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.